Hello and welcome to Android Developers Backstage. I'm Chet Haas from the UI Toolkit team.
I'm Tor Norby from the Android Tools team.
And today we have...
Oh, I'm Alex Ruiz. I am the lead of the project system team in Android Studio.
Wait, yay, so another tools talk.
Tools? Oh my God, you didn't warn me. Really?
Yeah. Well, this one, we're going to cover one of your favorite areas, right? It's got Gradle, it's got tools, it's got it all.
Brian, can we insert like the sound effect of a door opening and closing and footsteps walking away? Okay, so.
This is your chance. This is a chance to put in all your requests.
Okay, let's start it off saying, oh, you mean, is this like the system that complains when something's not synchronized between the project that I loaded and the Android Studio that I'm running and a later version of XYZ plugins that are...
Yes, that is one of the things that Alex works on. So Alex, why don't you sort of give us a quick summary of all the areas that the project system encompasses in the IDE?
The main area is the integration of Gradle with Android Studio, meaning synchronizing your favorite, you know, the one that you just mentioned, synchronizing Gradle with Android Studio. And what we do there is we obtain the project structure from Gradle because Gradle is our source of truth. And then we set up the project based on what Gradle tells us. For example, the source folders, a number of modules that a project has, library dependencies, intermodule dependencies, all that. So that is like the main responsibility of this team, integrating Gradle with Android Studio.
And we call that Gradle Sync.
Gradle Sync.
Okay, because I asked a little bit about Gradle on the way over to the studio this morning. You're like, no, I'm not a Gradle person. So it's more. So we talked to part of the Gradle team before. Those are the people that are actually in charge of the actual Gradle functionality within Android Studio. You're more responsible for the wrappers around that that integrate it with the IDE functionality.
Yes. So what the other team does is taking care of building a project. My team does is setting up a project inside the IDE based on what you have in your build files.
And on top of that, you deal with anything else Gradle or build related in the IDE, right? So for example, you know, quick fixes that adds dependencies into the build file. I'm sure there's more. Do you want to go through the rest of the list?
Well, I mean, there's certainly a host of dialogues to complain about something being out of sync, right? I mean, that's a huge job. There's a whole toolkit devoted to those dialogues.
Gradle Sync is really, really large.
Yeah, it's pretty big. The code base is one of the biggest in the our code base. And
is that like the length of each line? Or the number of lines?
No, actually, the lines are pretty short, but there are a lot of them.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Right. Especially if you add in all the tests.
Yeah, exactly, because we have a lot of tests. Yeah. So besides that synchronization, we also have a UI, which is under development, which allows you to visually configure your project. So you don't have to learn the Gradle DSL. So you add, for example, a library dependency just by clicking and typing.
Yeah.
Eventually, when this dialog is out, it will also tell you if there are new versions of the libraries that you already have.
If you use this library, you may also be interested in this other one. Yeah,
well,
nice.
It's not really clippy, but...
We could have that, too. I mean, that's not a bad idea. I mean, one of the things you're working on is a search dialog, right? And I think that search dialog, if I recall correctly, you have some suggestions right up front, right? So when you bring it up, at least this is... So you said we had this in development. We also have an old one. It's not very good. Which is why we're rewriting it. But that one, when you bring up add module, we also suggest a bunch of common ones, right? So you don't have to go and search, I want support annotations. It's there on the list. You just click on it. So we have a bunch of things that are common that we suggest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's kind of static, right? Yep. Well, the thing that you were talking about is more dynamic based on this library. Maybe you may want this. Actually, like that.
Yeah.
So, right. I mean, the graphical part, that's one of the pieces that I'm really missing because for some reason, I seem to end up in these problems a lot where not only is there a synchronization problem, but it eventually ends me up in the build.gradle file where I'm supposed to type a string and I don't exactly know what I'm supposed to type, right? You know, the name of the jar file, the name of the artifact, the version number, I don't happen to know those magic things off the top of my head. And so, like some graphical dialogue that sort of points me at, here's the thing that you need. I think away from the actual like
most IDEs
syntax of that file.
Don't make you go into a build file to build it, right? Most IDEs just kind of give you some dialogues and you can sort of add your include directories for C++ and set a flag if you want debugging or not.
Right. But we knew that our developers like typing, right?
Well, we knew that we had to have a really powerful build system, right? And the problem with our build system it's not even a problem. The power of the build system is you can write code in your build system. People tried to do this with Ant, right? So in Ant, you could insert certain jar files that could then expose a task. And then you had a task called if and a task called else. So you could actually have, you know, more or less Turing complete build system language, right? In Gradle, it's much easier. You can put the code right into your build like Gradle file, but that makes these graphical tools very difficult because it's not just data.
Right.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. So you could spit out one of these files and then I could go in and completely mess it up. And then what is your tool supposed to do with
that? Well, that's where we set the scope of this tool. If people stick to the DSL, this tool works wonderful. You can edit your files. But in the case like advanced users, they need some scripting because in reality, the DSL doesn't provide everything you need. And they had scripting. We don't, when we found scripting, we don't allow the user to edit because we don't understand that scripting. But at least if this dialogue, if you cannot write to it, at least it provides a really nice visualization of your project. For example, you can see how the build variants are composed, from which product types, product flavors and build types. Or
which dependencies you have, that's my
exactly.
favorite view.
Not just the dependencies that you declared in your build file, but also the whole graph of transitive dependencies, which is very useful to have. Because otherwise, you'll have to manually have a mental exercise to duplicate what Gradle did, to understand how's your project composed.
Right.
Yeah, and I mean, you said that if you've used scripting, we can't edit. But I think what you have so far still lets you do some editing, right? So I can say, for example, that I followed the DSL, but in the place where I'm supposed to put the version name, I can make a function call there, right? That is computing, let's say, the git SHA, right, of the code base, so that my version name has that in it. That we wouldn't prevent all other edits to the file. We would specific value we would show as code. But you can still go and add dependencies.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yes, I didn't mean that we don't allow edits to the whole file. That's my mistake. Yes, it's only to the parts that we don't understand because there's some scripting. But if the rest of the file follows the DSL, we can still edit those parts.
So what is this DSL? Is this
the main specific language? So,
are you creating that DSL right now, or is this an existing DSL? This is something that's custom around this.
You know, when the IDE
domain
brought up that build.gradle file, you were looking at it, right? So it'll say Android, and then it'll say, my main SDK version is 15. That is the DSL, right? It sort of exposes this Android object, and then it has a bunch of properties that are really, you know, function calls into our DSL.
Okay.
And I'm talking about DSLs, one of the, besides editing and also besides visualizing the project, something that we like to do is to have an easier migration from the Groovy DSL to the Kotlin DSL. If we understand those two DSLs and the parsers provide the same structure for the AST, migration might be possible, at least to a certain extent.
You just said Kotlin DSL.
Yes.
Tell me more.
That was kind of where I was leading, was are we creating a new DSL around this DSL happy language?
Well, this comes from Gradle, the company. And they added Kotlin support for build files.
Yep.
So instead of using the Groovy DSL, you can use Kotlin.
And people can do that now.
I think they can, but it's not production ready, as far as I know.
It's at version 0.11 or something.
That's probably going to cause a sync problem in my projects if I try to use that.
Yeah, I don't know if Studio supports it yet. I'd be surprised if we do. But you can certainly bring up these projects and build them with Gradle. Actually, I think it does work in Studio because I have a sample project where it kind of works. But obviously, all the support that Alex's team has written doesn't work on those files yet. We only look for the Groovy files and process them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. That's the only thing we understand now.
Yeah.
Just Groovy. But we're going to extend the support for Kotlin as well.
Okay.
And the DSL in Kotlin is very similar to the Groovy one. So, you know, your files look almost the same. Except now, because it's Kotlin and it has much better tooling support than Groovy, you have code completion and things like that, which today you kind of have to know the magic that you're allowed to insert in various places, whereas with Kotlin, the DSL is much more explicit. So use code completion to find out what you can do.
Okay, so you are working on this now, and at the point where we're recording this, 3.0 something is in Canary, right? So
it's been in beta, and it's almost done.
Okay, so is this work that is being done in the current 3? Okay,
no.
So this is a future thing
it's future work.
In the works. Okay.
Right now, we have an experimental dependencies view that shows you the transitive dependencies, but it's behind a flag. has been there since 2.3, I think.
Yeah, I mean, we actually gave a demo of this at Google I/O a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. But then the work was kind of shelved because of other priorities that we had to get done with the Gradle system first. And now Alex's team is back in business.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
When is this going to get done?
Good question.
Silent pause.
Exactly. Good question.
Eventually.
We're still planning.
Yeah. I think the answer you're looking for is, oh, we make no promises about future dates.
Yeah, exactly. I forgot that. No
I
promise.
Love putting him on the spot. So we start out this conversation on the way over here going, you know, obviously we don't talk about the future. And then on the podcast, we actually say, when is it going to be ready? Nice one. Yeah. Nice. That was a test. Yeah, well done. You
very
passed.
Good.
Sort of,
probably
yeah,
didn't pass it, right?
So if we can take a big step back and stop me if this is a stupid question. Can I understand what happens on sync? So I would love to understand like the contortions that my projects get into when I see the errors that I do. So I load the project and then things start happening, right? It will try to do a build, or maybe it detects, you know, it goes out to the internet and it detects a later version of something, and then it reports an error in this, and then I need to update that, which causes an update somewhere else. Can you help me understand the dependencies in Gradle sync that lead to this?
Yeah. Yes. Well, Gradle Sync, what it does is talk to Gradle to retrieve
to Gradle locally.
Locally, yes. Okay. Locally, to retrieve the structure of a project. Yep. And by structure, I mean modules, dependencies between modules, source folders, all this stuff.
And how does Gradle do that? Because the build files contain code, right?
Well, the build files contain code, but there are some defaults, for example. If you didn't add extra source folders or didn't change the default path of source folders, then you have to do it in build files.
Right. But even if my build file does do, let's say, for loop around adding source sets, mm-hmm. Gradle Sync will know because it executes the build file, right?
Exactly.
So
exactly.
It executes the build file, but it doesn't actually build.
Yes. It's a different, completely different mechanism. It doesn't execute tasks. What it does is configures the project and gets, well, again, the project structure. How the project is structured.
So it's a bit like in the old days when you could run make, you know, dry run, right? So it would spit out all the tasks that it would build, but it doesn't actually do it. But it uses that information to then, what? No, you're giving
no,
me a
I think, well, I'm not sure about the details what happens in Gradle. I know what happens after. Gradle comes back with information. Yeah. That's the part that I deal with.
Okay.
So the other team is the one doing all the stuff inside Gradle.
Yeah.
After that information comes from Gradle, we take it, we apply it to the project. And now, that data structure that comes from Gradle may report some errors. For example, that the platform that you need is not in your SDK. Also that you don't have the right version of build tools installed in your SDK. That you have a dependency, let's say WAVA 100. Accidentally, you put a zero there. WAVA 100 is not found on the internet. And that's when we report those errors to you. And that's the part that I'm sure it's frustrating you, right?
Well, especially because Gradle will abort each time it finds an error.
Exactly, yes.
Right? So you may have 15 errors in your project, and Alex is told after the first one's been hit. And then Alex puts up a quick fix, usually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, so...
Right, yeah, there's a couple of different areas. There's like a try again in the upper right, and then there's some other Hail Mary down in the bottom left. Inside the error dialog, right? There's like a quick fix down there and then some other yellow banner up on the right.
Yeah. So the problem, we have that two ways to notify you, because in case you don't have, you close the messages view, you wouldn't know that Gradle Sync failed.
Yeah.
And so at least you have an editor open, and then we can tell you, hey, your Gradle Sync failed for some reason. Click here to open.
If Gradle Sync failed, everything can go wrong. Like the IDE doesn't know where classes are. So you might look at the source editor and see all these red symbols going, why are you telling me that Android.view doesn't exist? Of course it exists. Well, it doesn't exist to the IDE because Gradle Sync failed, so it doesn't know where Android.jar is.
Can I point out that I think the try again is like the close button on an elevator panel? It's not actually hooked up to anything because it just failed. So I know for a fact that try again is not going to do the thing. Right.
Yeah, well, what could happen is that you could have gone to the command line and go, oh, yeah, I deleted that file. Let me undelete that file again. And now you press try again, and now it succeeds.
Yeah. Okay.
Or you manually change the build file, and then you say try again.
That's what I usually do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't work for me. No. Okay, but then, so I guess the problem that's, as you said, I run into is, okay, well, then I need to fix the first problem. So I try a quick fix, which will... you know, download a later version of the plugin, and then that triggers another problem. Not an existing problem, but it says, oh, now you have a new version of the tools, which means you need a new version of the platform tools or this plugin over here or this version of the jar file, right?
It's very cumbersome the way we do it right now. Hey, Alex, do you have any plans to fix this?
Whoa. We're only partway through me understanding what's actually going on, right? Mm-hmm. So you load my project, you start executing, you don't start executing, you start looking at the configuration of my project to detect what, the local versions of all these files?
Like, no, that already happened in Gradle.
Okay.
Yeah, what the errors that you see, for example, that the platform is not in your SDK, that happened in Gradle.
Gradle tries to load these things, and it says, I can't find this, abort.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then Alex goes, oh, we can't load this project. Let me try to help the user.
Okay.
So then you're parsing error messages, or are you looking at some of the Gradle output?
Well, both.
Yeah.
Both. So if it's an exception, I have to parse it to make sense out of it. And we have a few exceptions that we know the cause of them, and we offer quick fixes for them. And in the data structure that we get from Gradle, we also have this thing called sync issues. So this helps us finish a sync, even though it fails, without aborting. So at least we can finish it without throwing an exception. And then we take those sync issues out of the data structure, and that's what we present to you. For example, platform not installed, and then we add a quick fix. Okay, install it now and sync again.
Yeah.
And after that happens, plugin may complain again. Well, Gradle may complain again. You don't have the build tools.
Right.
And then we show, okay, install it.
Right.
And it's not that awesome.
Well, some of these quick fixes are great because they just fix the problem. So, for example, when you have a compiled SDK version, let's say 26, and you don't have 26 installed, it'll install 26, and that'll just work. It'll be fine. The one that used to bite me a lot is, hey, you just upgraded to the new version of Gradle, or the Gradle plugin. It requires a newer version of build tools, right? Then you have to go into your build.gradle files and find all the places where it asks for that, because the quick fix doesn't actually find build tools declarations, right? And that's one of the ones that you were stuck with. You're like, well, I can't do this one for you, so you have to do it yourself, because there's crazy ways people can specify build tools. And what I'm so excited about is that in 3.0, they took out this requirement to specify build tools. So if you don't specify it, Gradle plugin will pick the best default for you. And so you kind of, you know, you basically don't need to keep specifying build tools because it'll use the minimum requirement or the one that Gradle was tested with. So just, if you have a Gradle project today, delete your build tools version declarations and let the Gradle plugin from 3.0 and on pick it.
Okay. I expect to get another error telling me to delete my build tools version now.
So, that would be nice, actually.
Yeah, that would be nice. Lint check.
It doesn't have to be a Gradle sync issue. That should be a lint check.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so we have, you know, this kind of sad dance you do now where you click and you you sync again and then you resolve.
It encourages engagement with the IDE.
It's good for engagement. If only it was a +1 button or something. this is a loaded question. Mm-hmm. Do you have any plans to improve the situation? And if so, what is it?
Yes. So one thing that we're doing this quarter is actually fixing these upgrades to newer versions of components. We have to fix not just the IDE, also we have to fix the Android plugin. I still don't know how feasible this is. I have to talk to the Gradle team, to our Gradle team. And for example, I was just running into this yesterday. I was trying a sample. I didn't have the platform. I installed it via quick fix and then complained about the build tools. It would have been awesome if the plugin comes and tells me at front that I need these two components in one shot.
Right.
So the idea is that the Gradle plugin won't abort when it sees an error. Mm-hmm. It'll accumulate all of its errors and then send them all to Alex.
And not even that, but then Alex's code could actually magically fix all of these at one time. And this problem, like, this is not obviously specific to what you're doing. It kind of comes from Android of old. Even in ADT, I had this problem where it would complain about tools, and then once I fixed that problem, then it would complain about platform tools. And as a user of the IDE, don't care that these are separate things, right? Obviously, they go together.
We like reproducible builds, right? So we like that these things are kind of specified. They don't just randomly change, but we don't need quite as many versions as we have today.
No. And one thing, like I said, the fixes in the plugin, I don't know how feasible they are. Probably there are good reasons that this happens, maybe not. That's something that we're going to investigate. But
I've heard them say they can fix this, so...
Cool.
You should be in good shape.
Yeah. And this is something that actually I like my team to go ahead and fix.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that we have to fix as well is the IDE. So for example, if you get like a few related sync issues, it will be nice you just have one button that says fix all, sync, instead of going sync, fix sync. Even though you have, for example, five in your list, you have to fix each of them one by one and sync five times.
Yeah, it'd be nice if there was a single, just fix it for me, please.
Exactly, fix it and sync.
I'm feeling lucky.
Yeah.
Or an easier fix could just be to relabel it. So instead of quick fix, you could call it like slow fix or incremental fix.
Or just fix.
Right. Yeah.
Fix it for me.
Another thing we've talked about is not just when during sync, but you know, sometimes Lint will tell you, hey, there's a newer version of the Gradle plugin available, right? And right now, it's a bit of a, are you feeling lucky, right? Because you could upgrade, but then you'll discover, especially if you're going from 2.3 to 3.0, you'll discover there's a lot of other things you have to fix.
Yep.
Right? Because the DSL has changed in 3.0, and maybe your tests won't pass anymore.
Right.
And so it would be nice if we could have this, basically invoking this checker from Alex that tries this upgrade, but it maybe tries it in a different directory. And it tries to upgrade, it tries building, it tries running your tests, and then it'll come back and say, okay, you know, here's this fix available for you. We're going to modify these seven files, and with that, the test will pass.
The other problem I've noticed with upgrading the Gradle plugin version or the Android Studio version, which will implicitly upgrade that, is that it's kind of a one-way path. Because then once you get that project actually upgraded or started on that new version, then you try to open it in an older version, and your life's not happy. Right, because then it's basically the reverse of that. Then you need to fix a bunch of stuff to work on the older stuff, right?
Yeah, we've tried really hard to let Studio be mostly decoupled from the Gradle version, so you can, you know, in Studio 3.0 build with 2.3.
Is that a thing? Because I thought I got 3.0 automatically.
Preview builds, right? So we don't let you mix and match beta 3 of Studio with beta 7 of the Gradle plugin, but we try to support stable versions so that you can sort of get Studio 3.0 and continue to have your build work with 2.3. Mm-hmm. And I believe that's the works.
Yeah. It still works because our users are willing to update Studio more frequently than the Android plugin.
Right.
So they need to work with older versions of the Android plugin.
Yeah, I mean, in fact, this was a very deliberate decision because we used to have the situation in the Eclipse world where the build system was part of the IDE. And so people wanted the new IDE to get the latest layout editor or whatever, or actually Lint. They wanted the latest Lint.
Of course.
Right? But then,
is that still
you know,
a thing?
They would... What?
Is that still a thing, Lint?
Nicely done.
Okay.
So they would get the new version, but then they would discover, oh, no, I can't build. Right, and so we wanted to be sort of decoupled that your builds are reproducible and you're explicitly saying, I want this version of build and I want this version of the IDE.
Yeah.
So we've done that. But Instant Run made it kind of difficult for us to sort of have wildly disparate changes. So I think that you can use Studio 2.3 with Gradle 3.0 also. I mean, the build system is allowed to be more recent than your IDE. But I think we disable some features when that doesn't work. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, maybe part of the pain that I feel is that when I want to try some of the new features, then I end up on a Canary build and then I'm kind of on my own because some of this functionality
As a Canary user, you have to be prepared to, you know, breathe some gas and die.
That is what Canaries are for.
Yeah. Yeah. Although we do, I know that I think the terminology for the Canary builds came from Chrome. I mean, there probably were early people who used that too. But I think Chrome has Canary as it's almost like a nightly build, right? And they have their dev builds are more stable. Our Canary is maybe not following the right terminology. Our Canaries are more like dev builds. We don't just release them straight from the build server. They go through some QA cycles and so forth. So they should be in okay shape, but they do have bugs. We don't hold the Canary because there's a P1 bug. P0, yes. P1, no.
Well, there was a time aspect of it as well, right? Well, you'll lock it in. There's not a timeout mechanism, but there's basically some SHA that it's linked with, and you know, 30 days later, it's like, you need to upgrade now.
I don't know if we still have that. We had a time bomb in the product, and I think that was because we noticed that people were publishing apps.
Interesting.
You know, with really old versions. I don't think we have a problem with people using, you know, 3.0 beta 7 or whatever to build a production app. It should work because, I mean, the build tools themselves, like APT, are production worthy index. But some people were on really, really ancient versions that were beta builds, and we kind of wanted them to at least jump to the stable version. And so I think we added the time bomb so that after 2 or 3 months, the Gradle plugin would basically abort, saying this build is too old. But if you need to get your work done, set this environment variable to this value, and that value would use the current date to compute it. So you couldn't just, oh, fine, we'll just fix our build script to set this one value. No, every day you have to update it, right? Yeah. So it was kind of an inconvenience, but you could get your job done. We had that, and the support library team was pretty upset because around the 2.4.3.0 transition, we were taking too long, right? They needed to use 3.0, but they couldn't really, 2.4, but they couldn't really switch to 3.0. So I think we might have taken it out. I'm not sure about this.
Okay.
Anyway, please use stable versions or the latest beta.
All right, then.
All right. Let's get back to Gradle Sync because it's everyone's favorite topic. I know that your team is doing a crazy amount of work to make it faster, right? Yeah. So I think that you already made some crazy large speed up. Now, things got much worse from 2.2 to 2.3, but then...
Why is that? What was the nature of the slowdown?
Actually, from 2.2 to 2.3 is when we made it faster. We made it 60 times faster.
Oh, you were looking at the graph upside down.
Yeah.
I know we had it. I know it got worse, but then it got much, much better. Like,
yeah.
Right? And yes. Maybe that was 2.1 to 2.2 then.
Actually, 2.2.1 was really bad. 2.2 was a little bit better, but not all the improvements made it to the release because of timing.
Yeah.
And 2.3 was a lot faster, 60 times faster compared to 2.1.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So. But, so why was 2.1 so slow? Like, what was the nature of the problem?
Yeah,
there
were a few things. And. A few things that were wrong. First of all, we were using the IDE's virtual file system to look for source attachments. And turns out that it's very, very slow. And it's just a snapshot of the file system at some point in time. So if we don't find the attachment in the file system, we had to refresh it to find it. And we thought it was a good idea to use all the APIs from the IDE, but in this case, was not a good idea. So when we switched from the virtual file system to Java IO file, things went a lot faster.
Okay.
Another thing that happened is that we were in the process of applying the data structure from Gradle to the IDE. We were making changes. For example, we added libraries and we commit the changes. We added source folders and we committed the changes. And each commit is like a transaction, and then the IDE sees it as a change in the project structure, which is true, it is, and triggers indexing. So we were doing this like three times during the whole process of Gradle Sync, and we had three requests for indexing. And they were fighting with the sync process for I/O, making things very slow. So we changed that, and we only commit changes at the end. Another problem is that we constantly were looking for source attachments on everything. An optimization that we did is we only look for them once. If we mark this library that it doesn't have source attachments and we sync again, we don't look again because it is very expensive to go in the file system and look for source attachments because we don't get that information from Gradle. So we have to find it ourselves.
So that's a good point. I mean, I think that you do a bunch of extra hacks, or I don't know if hack's the right word, right? But you're kind of fixing up things that we don't get from Gradle Sync, right? So for example, we are finding external annotations. We're finding source jars for libraries so that when you're debugging, you get sources inside of these jars, right? Which you wouldn't have if we just went with what Gradle gave us. But that's expensive. Mm-hmm. So that's what you did for 2.3. What are some of the big things in 3.0 and the things that you have planned?
Yes. So in 3.0 doesn't have any improvements in terms of performance because we've been working in very large projects of infrastructure that is going to make things better in the long term. So there are two big things that we're doing. We need to introduce new APIs in Gradle itself, the build system, not the Android plugin. And we're contributing these APIs to make, for example, the first thing is when you sync, when you sync your project, the Android plugin syncs all the build variants of your project. Let's say there are at least three, right? And in
well,
the IDE,
debug and release
exactly, and then each variant has artifacts, build artifacts, which in reality they're variants as well. But in the IDE, you can only work with one variant at a time. So we're doing extra work for no reason. We're syncing more stuff that you need. So in order for us to sync only the variant you're working with in the IDE, we have to tell Gradle only sync this variant. We have to pass a name. But actually, it is more complex than it sounds, because we have to pass that parameter from the IDE all the way to Gradle, and Gradle has to pass it to the plugin, all this through the tooling API, which is a special API that Gradle provides that allows us to communicate with Gradle, which is out of process. And there is a lot of magic going on there. There's a lot of proxies, a lot of really cool stuff. But adding more functionality is not trivial. So we hope that in 3.1, we can only sync the current variant that you're working on in the IDE. The second one is, when we sync, we need to trigger a source generation after that, which is a mini build.
So that's building R.java and things like that.
Yeah. Yes. And because of that, we have to call Gradle two times. Each time, we have to Gradle has to configure the project, resolve dependencies, has to do expensive stuff. And this expensive stuff isn't necessary, because the project hasn't changed between these two invocations.
Right.
So what we want to do is do sync, and inside the tooling API at the same time, return the data structure back to the IDE. The IDE can start setting up the project. And in the same connection to Gradle, we start the source generation task. So that way, we're going to save a lot of time. So it's going to be a better experience for the user.
Right.
But those changes take a lot of time, because there are big changes in both Gradle, the Android plugin, and also the IDE. And what makes things even more interesting is that we have to be backwards compatible. So we introduce, let's say, these APIs in Gradle 2.4. But still, users may want to open projects using Gradle 2.2. So we have to have both mechanisms working. The old way, which is inefficient, and the new way. So we have to make sure that we don't break anything. We cannot just delete code.
Okay. I just now remembered there was some other big performance fix that made sync faster, right? That had to do with the proxies. There was some.
Oh, yes. That was my favorite. That was very time consuming. So what happens is, to provide a better user experience, after a sync, we serialize the models to disk. So when you close the project and you reopen it, we detect that nothing has changed in your build files. And if nothing has changed, we restore the models, the data structures we got from Gradle, from disk, instead of going through Gradle. So when you open a project again...
Or when you restart the IDE, basically.
Oh, exactly.
That's a common scenario, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You don't have to go through Gradle sync, so it your project is ready faster.
It's just like hibernating the project.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And the way we did it is through proxies and reflection, because there's a limitation. We cannot have the implementation classes of that data structure that we came from Gradle for many reasons. So we don't have the implementation, and we are limited to use Java serialization, because we have to reuse some code that we get from the IDE. Because of that, serialization doesn't work if we don't have the implementation classes. We cannot deserialize, because we don't have those classes in the class path. So we were using some really cool magic using proxies and reflection, but it was very slow, very slow. So for example, a little bit of implementation details. This object in reality was a map, and the key was the signature of the method, and the value of that entry was the actual value when we call the original method. The thing is that to obtain the key, we had to call generic string this method in the method class from Java Reflection, and calling that is 80 times faster than calling the method itself. So every time we did something with that object was 80 times slower.
Wait, you said 80 times faster. I think you meant slower.
Oh, yes. Right? Okay. Slower. Yes, right. That's what I meant.
Well, and didn't we also have a bug in equals so that we ended up...
Oh, that was in the Android plugin. That was not in the equals and hash code.
That, I see. But yeah. but it also affected sync, because we made a crazy large model, right? Because... You know, you had all these things. I think it was in the dependencies, right? So we're trying to produce a dependency graph.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a lot of people pointing to the same object, that should have just been one object. But because we had an equals bug, we ended up just making millions of
yes, that was very sad.
Repeated graphs.
Yeah, that was very... So when the data structure came to us, it was huge.
Massive, yeah.
Yeah, it was massive.
I wonder how many bugs in Java code have been produced because of equals and hash code mismatches.
Yeah. Yeah. I've had my own.
Yeah. It's not that trivial to implement them.
No. Yeah.
I think that's why they put that contract in there, just to trigger these bugs.
It's yeah.
just
like it's a job security, thing. Really.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
sells more copies of Josh's book.
Yeah. Yeah, the interesting part is that instead of having these automatic generated classes with proxies, I implemented all the interfaces myself. And the thing is that I spent a lot of time testing equals and hashcode. I have a lot of tests to make sure that those two are working the way they should, actually.
Wait. So why is that a speed up?
Because we don't use reflection and proxies anymore.
Okay.
And actually, it's not so much as reflection, but how we calculate the keys for the map. That is super slow.
Okay.
And we have to do the calculation every time we want to access a method.
Yeah.
Because I don't know why, even though the signature of a method never changes, that value is never cached in Java. It's calculated every time.
We ended up for some of the original animation stuff. So it's heartwarming to hear that reflection also sucks on other platforms. It's slow on other platforms. We ended up jumping through a lot of hoops with the original animation stuff that we did in Honeycomb, where I ended up using JNI because reflection was so awful and JNI is also bad. But we would end up doing a method lookup and caching that result for that very reason. Right, because just the lookup itself. Obviously, this is a different platform. This is on Android, completely different implementation, but same problem where when you're using reflection to look up this stuff, it's just so horrifically expensive that you only want to do it once. So yeah, it's kind of strange that it doesn't get cached at a system level. Maybe again, they just put it there to catch people up. Thought it was fun.
Yep. All right, so that's Gradle Sync. Basically a solved problem in 3.1.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, what are you going to do for your next job?
Right? That's the line. I'm sorry. No promises.
Once again, pass the test. This is impressive. All right. That's Gradle Sync. We talked a little bit about the project structure dialog, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the graphical dialog where you have to configure your project. Mm-hmm. So we talked about the dependencies. What else are you going to do in that view?
The dependencies view. So right now...
With the entire PSD. That's what we call
it. Oh, the entire PSD. So for the PSD, the first thing that we want to do is to release something that works, something that is reliable, and the minimum that we want to do is feature parity with the one that we have now, with a few extras. The first extra is going to be the dependency graph that I mentioned before. So it is there right now.
And the new version suggestions, right? Like, hey, these seven things have their newer versions of these, so yes, click here to update. Yeah,
absolutely, yes. Another thing that I like to have is lint integration. Like the warnings that you get in the editors, have them there. That's something that I need to talk to the lint guts.
Lintegration.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Lintegration would be great. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would be awesome. And another thing is support for variables, because in reality, nobody hard codes the library dependencies, the versions of library dependencies in the build file. They are extracted in variables, and that's something that the current PSD doesn't support. It breaks. If you try to do that, something bad is going to happen to your project. So we want to have that support. Like you can see that this dependency, let's say app compat, is using this version, but this version comes from variable X, and this variable X is defined in build file Y.
And when we show the suggestion, hey, update the new support library, it's going to update the variable. It's not going to replace the variable references.
Yeah. And also there will be some special cases where all the support libraries, they have to have the same version. But yeah,
that's a feature.
Yeah, that's a feature.
Yeah.
The other thing is that for random stuff that you have as a variable, and if we detect that variable is used by several places, we will ask the user, hey, this is the variable, is used by these things. Do you want to update the variable? Do you want to inline the value for this dependency you are changing? Or do you want to extract this to a new variable? So we want to give users the chance to decide what they want to do.
And this PSD will read and write both Groovy and Kotlin eventually.
Well, at least the first version, probably Kotlin. There are some technical shortcomings that we have to...
Okay.
Yeah. So we have to first...
You're starting with Groovy is what you're saying.
Yeah, we're going to start with Groovy. We love to support Kotlin, but we need to write a parser for the Kotlin DSL. We have to do some infrastructure work first for that to happen.
Okay. All right. That's the PSD. I know you also have a bunch of quick fixes, right? So for example, if I'm using, let's say, Java language 7 in my code, and then I actually put a lambda in the code, IntelliJ already goes, oh, this looks like a Java language 8. Mm-hmm. You want to switch, right? And in IntelliJ, that'll just change your .iml file. Mm-hmm. That's not what you want in Android Studio, where the truth of this needs to actually rewrite a build file and say and set the language level there. Mm-hmm. So you have quickest for that, right?
Yeah. So we overwrite the functionality from the IDE. So instead of updating the IML files, we update the build files. If we want to support Kotlin properly, we have to have, again, this parser for the Kotlin-based DSL, not just for the PST, but also for these quick fixes. And this is something that we are starting also this quarter. We're a little bit late. But also, this team has a lot of things to do and for a small team.
Such as instant apps?
Exactly. Instant apps, yes.
What have you been doing on instant apps?
What we took care of is deployment and testing of instant apps, which took a lot of our resources, a lot of time and energy from us.
You would think it would have been a lot quicker.
You would have thought it would have been
instant. It's not... Yeah. Yeah. It was.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
And one area I'm aware your team is really working on is... test support, right? So we used to have, well, we probably still do. We had this distinction between unit tests and integration tests.
Mm.
Right? And what is this whole thing that you did with letting them both coexist in the project, right? Because there was something where we were doing some tricks where we can only have one test source set, and then one was inactive and you couldn't run them.
Oh,
you had
yes,
to switch.
What was that
whole pain? And, yeah. And
it was an awful user experience. So what happened, I think it's in 2.1 is or earlier. So we already have, each module has different build variants. And each build variant has two, except for release, has two, the debug variants have two test artifacts, which is unit tests and Android tests. But given that the IDE can only work with one scope of tests, we had to have yet another dropdown. So you already selected the variant, and then you have a second dropdown to select the test artifact you want to work with.
And that was because we couldn't just blend them because, out of the box, we called both of them the same name. The class was the exact same name, right? The unit test, the default unit test, and the default integration test were both called whatever, activity main test or something. So you couldn't do that.
Yeah,
did you do?
Well, actually, what we did is we kind of hacked the internals of the IDE. And we introduce scopes, new test scopes. So instead of having just one test scope, we simulate two. And it was very, very difficult to do because the IDE wasn't designed to do that. So we have to go really deep into the APIs of IntelliJ to simulate this and to get the class path right for each scope and also not just for editing files, but also when you want to run the tests. And this is going to bring a very interesting point. So right now, when you run unit tests or Android tests inside the IDE, we do everything ourselves. The IDE runs them. They figures out the class path. It's duplicating what Gradle is doing when you run tests through the command line. And we're changing that.
So that in 3.1 or whenever this ships, you will be running the tests using Gradle itself? And then the results get reported back? And
I wouldn't say 3.1 because no promises, right?
Okay, yeah.
But we are contributing APIs to Gradle for us to run Android tests through the tooling API. So we can no longer... So the IDE doesn't have to duplicate what Gradle does because we're always catching up. Yeah. If there is some change in behavior in the build system, we have to adapt. We have to do the same in the IDE.
And the challenge there is that you want to have that unit test view stay up to date and have the green bar advance, right? So you have to have Gradle emit some information to you that you can then report back?
Exactly. That's what we don't have.
Okay.
It's right now, unit tests can be run through Gradle inside the IDE, but not Android tests. And we want to be consistent. So we want to migrate both to run to Gradle. Otherwise, it's going to be maintenance problems for us as well.
I personally love running tests in the IDE because I find JUnit reports unreadable. You know, when you get a cert failed with a diff, have you seen this? The diff is unreadable, right? There's some, like, it shows like a little bit of the fragment that's different, but you have to mentally try to figure it out in your head. Whereas in the IDE, it's just, click here for differences, and you get a nice diff view showing before and after. I love that. Yeah. So I definitely want to run the tests in the IDE.
Yeah, we're actively working on that. I hope it's going to make it to 3.1, but
okay,
no promise.
All right. Did we cover all the stuff that your team does?
There is one thing that we recently we're going to something new in 3.1 that is for gaming.
Okay.
APK debugging.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. APK debugging. What
APK
is that?
APK debugging is a new feature in 3.0 that allows you to take an APK, already built APK. It doesn't matter which build system you use to build it. You can import that APK into the IDE. The IDE will create a project for you. Then you will attach, in the case of Java, you'll attach Java sources. In the case of C++ code, you will attach libraries that have debug symbols and the source code. And then you can debug and you can profile those APKs.
Nice.
So this is for people who are using, who are not building with Gradle or Android Studio, right? So they're using Unity or anything like that, Unreal. They have a game, but they want to use our profilers and debugging.
Yes.
And now they don't have to make a fake project and point sources and try to hack up things. They can just drop the APK. In fact, do you support drag and drop? I can just drop the APK into the...
It's in the plan.
Okay. In the plan, because I know the APK analyzer does that, so it shouldn't be
It's too impossible. Right now, you have to go to File, Import APK, or in the Welcome screen, there is a new item there. It says Import APK for debugging.
So many clicks. That sounds great. I was thinking, isn't this a feature that like I tried a while ago, but maybe I was thinking of APK analyzer.
Yeah, APK analyzer was there, and that lets you point to an APK and look inside it. So I think you reused some of that machinery, right, to sort of give an APK view. Mm-hmm. Then you also added, didn't you add the box Molly SMX highlighting?
So yes, if
because that's something I wanted. I kept asking the person who worked on the APK analyzer, Shiva, like, hey, you know, when I see the classes, I want to click on a class and I want to see the disassembly of the class. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think he might have added that, but you added syntax highlighting. So now you can sort of see the disassembly with syntax highlighting.
Yeah. Hmm. So in the project view, when you have, you see the classes of Dex, you can open, actually it's a note, you can open, you see the classes inside. If you haven't attached sources, you double click and you see the disassembled code with some syntax highlighting. And then you can attach sources.
And you added the syntax highlighting because you needed to have a smart Lexer that could actually find real line number information, right? Like that was your actual use case. Because I was wondering...
No, originally I did it for you.
Okay, that's okay. It was because I asked. Okay, excellent.
Yeah, but it turned out to be useful.
Yes,
yeah.
No, it's great.
Tor-driven development.
Yeah. No, I'm totally total believer in that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's a nice feature.
Cool. The future is going to be awesome.
Yeah, this actually should be in 3.0. So it's the future is awesome today.
Wait, I thought he was saying 3.1.
No, this.
3.0. 3.0.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to demo this at I.O. And I had the weirdest issues with my demo machine. You know, I've been very lucky the last few years. My demos have just worked. But this time there was some network issue. And I think that when I tried to open up the folder to insert the APKs, there was a network mount in that folder, I think. And I think the file chooser never showed up. So I was standing there trying to demo it. And then I just ended up explaining what the feature would have been if I could show it, which was very sad. Because that was one of your big features to show at I.O.
And the problem, well, the issue there was that we are not using the file chooser from the platform, from macOS, for example.
Yeah.
Because that one is very plain and we need to have some description of what... Because this is a new feature, we want to explain what you're doing. Like, please find the APK you want to import, and we have some description there. And the only way to do that was with the IDE's own file chooser, and that one looks like makes a network connection every time you open it, and that's probably
presses stats the files, and it's a synchronous call. So anyway, wasn't able to show it, but that actually is a feature in 3.0.
Yeah, and it's documented.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
nice. All right, APK analyzer, APK debugging,
And profiling.
Yes, anything else?
No, I think that's already a lot for that tiny team.
Yes, yes. All right, any final words?
Pronouncements, advice?
Wisdom?
Demands?
Good jokes?
No, the only thing, well, thank you very much for having me here. It's really nice to be around you guys.
Well, thanks for coming.